Good evening.
Good evening. I think I'm the only one.
Say again, you're the only one?
I think so.
You want to wait a few minutes?
I guess we can. I just put the articles in a folder before I sent them to you, so I wouldn't have to be going back and forth. So that's what I'll do when I'm finished.
Basically, I have 2 weeks to add to these. I think if I remember correctly, there's like 32 essays on this subject in the Kosher Torah library. So, but I only got to putting those first three on, and then the fourth one is another from another location. So.
Okay, well, what I have are the ones I used to get by email years ago.
Understood. It's just, I'm doing so much right now.
Right.
With,
well, when I came across it, I thought it was better to ask you and if you wanted them, because I didn't know if I'd find them again, because they're not in one place.
And I appreciate you asking and sending them to me, but I have there's a cover sheet he sent me with all 30, whatever the number is. I think it's 32.
Yeah. Okay.
Different
well,
ones, so.
Okay. Well, I think way back what meant a lot to me was the legend of Armelus, I'm going through drawers, and I'm going through papers, and I just came across one that I didn't have saved. I may sketch it because it had to do with, I just skimmed it, I didn't read it, it just caught my eye, about the two Mashiachs having to do with one with the tree of knowledge and one with the tree of life.
Right.
That one I would have to scan.
Well, if you have time, it's something that...
Right.
I can put it together. It's the more we cover, the better we are. So.
Right. Well, I went to look for my Book of Daniel because I used to subscribe way back 2003 to Zomra's Torah studies.
He's recovering. So.
Yeah.
I believe somebody just came on.
That's good.
Either that or I... No, I hit the wrong button, I guess.
Okay.
Abraham is recovering from the... But it sounds like a bout of cancer, but we're not sure. He's not specifying the illness. He's just telling him that he had a severe operation and he has to go through some recovery and radiation. So,
is that Greenbaum, Rabbi Greenbaum, Abraham Greenbaum?
It's Rabbi Abraham from Azamra. You get his last name.
Okay.
Well, he is the Azamra Institute,
Well, I only go to it, from time to time.
Right.
Way back when I subscribed to, that was my Torah studies every week, going through the book, each book,
yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I've used him a lot with the Third Temple and.
I'd ordered several of his books years back too. I mean, I studied basically on my own, so it was. But I see that I really was introduced to some really good teachers, you know.
Absolutely.
I thought I was by myself all that time, and in reality, I wasn't at all.
So we both had good teachers in different ways. Have you thought of much about the idea that the animals are actually higher souls?
No.
Okay.
But they failed. You know, I realize they fail further, so it makes sense that they would be higher souls.
Right. But it's so uncomfortable. The way the other rabbis talk about it is that those souls, as the human corrects himself, he corrects the animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the trees too.
And the trees and the rocks.
You know, years ago when we had an ice storm, you know, I saw the relationship between the soul of the tree and the, you know, our actions destroying the trees. So,
right.
I mean, we're all connected. The more you see it,
the more you realize it. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I thought I had to read the first paragraph of Bereshit when we had Torah study. And the night before, the rabbi had translated it as first day. So when I stopped to read it, I asked him why he translated it as first day, because it was Yom Echad. And he said, well, just he thought it sounded better. Well, I didn't say anything, but after that, every other day was an ordinal. It was second and third. It wasn't day two and day three, you know. And all of a sudden, it struck me, well, no wonder it's a cod. And I just said it out because it just hit me that what Hashem was saying was when he created light and said, you know, day one, he was one with all creation. It just struck me, you know, there was the oneness right there. That was why it's the word a cod, not
Rishon. And when you don't make that connection to unity, you don't see it. It's obviously it was the first day because there was a second day, so there had to be a first day. But it's not. It's totally different. It's totally based on unity.
But I'm noticing, you know, right at first it was easy to think, okay, Jew and Gentile, we're really children of Israel. No black and white or colors, you know. But now it's getting to go even further. Democrat and Republican. just keep going down the, you know, animals and insects and, I mean, it's everything.
Everything is separated in this world. Everything is perceived as other than me.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
I know. We're writing for the report this week, and of course the doctor didn't have a very positive outlook, but Tony's not losing weight. In fact, he's gained 3 pounds. And his energy is back. Today he walked the subdivision and he rode his bike. And, you know, but he told me that the first time he had the procedure, that every seminar they ask, why can't we have a positive result from, you know, from this procedure? And my thought was, well, we'll be the first. that was my thought, you know. And I didn't say it out loud, though. And then when I thought about the little girl, you know, I hadn't seen her since she was 5 when we were in Israel, and here she and her dad come to visit us, and he hadn't been here in 16 years, so it was a very unusual visit. And then she tells me that she went to Chevra Raquel to pray for Tony. And I thought, you know, gosh, if when he tells me a good report and he says he wonders why we got the good report, how am I going to explain to him? I can tell him why, you know.
I hear you.
You know, do you know who Raquel is? Do you know what the tomb of Raquel is? Do you know my husband's name is Joseph? And Raquel's son was Joseph, and she cries for her children in exile. And what, you know, how unusual for a 13-year-old to come visit me, and 2 weeks later, she's praying at the tomb of Raquel. For one of Raquel's children in future generations, which is my husband, whose name is Joseph. It's going to be fun, huh?
It is going to be fun.
Oh,
it is funny. It's wonderful.
Yes.
We're past the 10 minutes, so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send you these, whether you want them or not. I know that there's one or two that's not about Zadok. It's someone else. Okay.
Did somebody just come on?
Malcolm.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We've been waiting.
Oh, I was motorcycle riding. Sorry, I just came in.
Well, I'm glad you came.
Thank you.
So we can begin the class. We're on section 21, chapter 21, section 3. The
okay, I'm going to mute.
All right.
And
you can find the handout. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. And when you open that up, scroll down to class 24. B, I believe it is. Yes, it's 24B. Having said this, we will explain what it means when it says, if a person violated a positive mitzvah and repents, he does not move without being forgiven. However, before explaining this, we must first return to the idea that teshuvah means kashuv hey, returning the letter hey, and the four divisions of teshuvah. And we have footnote 10, which if we click on the small number 10, the Hebrew word for repentance, teshuvah, literally means returning or restoring. In the act of teshuvah, one returns to Hashem. The Zohar explains in addition that the word teshuvah can be split in two. Teshuv plus the letter hey.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, well, I'm lost. I thought we were on the four levels of the Shekinah in exile. Chapter 21, section 3.
That's where we are.
Okay.
Let me finish reading this footnote number 10.
Number 10?
Yes.
Okay. Evidently, I don't have a footnote 10. That's my problem. Okay. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay. Now I got to find where I am because I was at the right place and I went back. Not a problem. Okay. I found my place. So I'm in the middle of reading the footnote number 10. The Zohar explains in addition that the word teshuvah can be split into two. Teshuv plus the letter he, which would translate as return the he, referring to a letter he in the divine name. And now let's return to where we were reading. My commentary. The Arizal will now explain the movement of the Sephirot relative to each other. This is made a bit easier if one visualizes a man sitting on the shoulders of another man. Actually, visualize the top man standing on the head of the lower man. The lower man represents the Klipa and represents the idea of the negative system and evil. Represents the throne or chair for the good system. Now the upper man represents 10 Sephirot as the four steps or the four phases of creation as we have taught in separate classes. When in action that is done that is negative, the metaphorical result is the lowest Sephirah of the good system, the man on top of the head of the lower man, slips off the head and lands on the shoulders of the lower man. Now this malchut of the upper man, which represents the Shekhinah, is standing on the shoulders of the lower man. Each time a negative action is performed, the man on top slips and falls lower. The feet, the Shekhinah, falls lower until the final maximum depth is reached, where the malchut of the higher man is at the level of the lower man. Starting with the first negative action, the fall of the feet of the Shekhinah is referred to as exile, or galut in Hebrew. To begin with, sometimes the word world of Asiyah, which corresponds to the lower he, descends to the first three sephirot, the upper triad of the Klipot. This concept is called Galut of the Shekhinah, exile of the Shekhinah. The letters of the Tetragrammaton branch into the Sephirot. The final He associates with Malchut, the Sephirah of the Shekhinah, the revelation of God's presence as king of his world. If the sin is more serious, the person can cause Asiyah to go down as far as the three middle Sephirot of the Klipot, and if more severe, then as far as the three that follow the lowest three. If the sin is even more serious, Asiyah can descend to the Malchut Harasha, the evil one, the tenth Sephirah of the Klipot. These are the four levels to which the Shekhinah, Asiyah, can go into exile within the Klipot. It's also a way of understanding the 50 gates of negativity, being the five Sephirot of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Yesod, or Netzach and Hod, times the 10 Sephirot within each of those, 5 times 10 being the 50. That's an unwritten commentary I just made. The last defect is what gives rulership to the kingdom of the other side, although the other lesser defects still contribute to the cause. One may decide to go on a diet, but find himself violating it. Often finds it hard to control himself. One may decide to go on a diet, but find himself violating it. This comes from the lower subsidiary parts of the self rebelling and taking command in place of listening to the mind. The general principle is that repentance really fixes. One who repents automatically usurps the rebels and puts them in their place. He will merit to divine honor resting upon him, that no one will even question him. Learning Torah empowers the true kingship. It strengthens the good inclination, and automatically the evil kingdom falls. It is a path to reinstating the true self to its royal regal reign over the being. Therefore, was the prayer enacted 3 times a day. Restore us, O Father, to your Torah, and draw us close to your service, and bring us thereby back to you in perfect repentance. Rabbi Nachman emphasizes that if even the worst person would set for themselves an established time to learn Torah every day, it would bring them out of the most terrible habits and liberate them to make complete self-improvement. However, someone who causes defect to Yetzirah, Bria, or Atzilut does not cause them to go down into the Klipot, since the Klipot are lower than the world of Asiyah. Instead, Yetzirah descends to the world of Asiyah, to the level of the first 3 Sephirot. Then to the middle 3 Sephirot, and after that to the 3 Sephirot beneath these, which are Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Finally, to Malchut of Asiyah. These are the 4 levels to which Yetzirah can descend within Asiyah. They are called the exile of Yetzirah, since it went from a higher level of holiness to a lesser one. They are called the exile of Yetzirah. Exile is a relative state of death. One who descends from his level is as if he dies. In the same manner, Briah can descend 4 levels within Yetzirah, which is called Galut of Briah, exile of Briah. Atzilut can descend to Briah, which is called Galut, or exile of Atzilut. The 4 categories of levels themselves that we mentioned are all generally called Galut of the Shekhinah. The concept of Shekhinah is the concentrated root revelation of divinity. It finds expression in each realm according to its parameters. It can so accordingly be conceptually in a state of exile within each realm. The descent means either a lessening of the intensity of the concentration of the Shekhinah light or complete hiding. The principle that emerges is that there are 4 categories and each contains 4 types, that is 4 worlds, and correspondingly 4 general types of teshuvah. Within each world, there are also 4 specific types of teshuvah. We will now explain the first one, and from it, explain the others. They all correspond to the 4 expansions in each world unto itself. According to what a person does, so does he draw upon himself the divine names. Also, each world is composed of four major quadrants, which branch out from the world itself, chambers within it, angels, and souls. To begin with, when the Talmud writes, when a person transgresses a positive mitzvah and then returns it by doing teshuvah, it is talking about if he damaged asiyah. When he repents, he is immediately forgiven, for by transgressing a positive mitzvah, he causes the hay of malchut, of asiyah, to descend and separate from tiferet, making it to only descend to the first three of the klipot. Transgressing a positive mitzvah causes a lack of light in the world. Transgressing a positive mitzvah refers to a lack of doing something. Footnote 11. There is, however, the concept brought in the Talmud of an isur mitzvah, a positive prohibition. This means that the Torah expresses the need to refrain from doing something in a manner of positivity, doing. This causes a lack of light in the world, like someone who didn't make lunch, leaving the family deprived of nourishment. This lack is not as bad as actually getting up and damaging something, like someone who demolishes the family's house. The damage caused by lack is generally the least and only causes problems in the lowest of the worlds. This needs to be understood, for Nachmanides teaches that the main acquired perfection is through doing the positive mitzvot, whereas the idea behind the prohibitions is to simply protect one's level. Indeed, both are true. When looking at what actually elevates a person, the positive mitzvot are primary. However, in terms of our discussions about one who violated the precepts, the damage caused by transgressing prohibitions is worse. And this itself is the reason why the whole premise behind them is perfection. One who is in a state of self-nullification has no bounds. One who does something, no matter how much he does, can only do what he can do, and no more. A creature of limitation can also only do so much, whereas in the aspect of passive nothingness, there are no limitations. One who is in a state of self-nullification can so relate to and draw upon limitless energies that expand to eternity, for he has no bounds, no limitations. To explain that, or expand, I hope you understand those words. The negative mitzvot that says, do not do this action, is creating a state of self-nullification. And as such, when you're in that state where the ego has been lessened, you are connecting to the infinite level of Hashem. And by doing so, you have access to all of this capacity of energy. And in that sense, the negative mitzvot provide protection. Whereas the positive, the doing of a positive action is providing you growth, not just protection. I'll continue to read. Yet the main acquiring of completion is through the positive mitzvot. Guarding the prohibitions grants connection to levels of limitlessness that cannot be accessed except through negation. But actual light is drawn to the soul and the universe through getting up and fulfilling the positive precepts. And I am adding that this teaching is very important. One draws light through the positive mitzvot, while one needs to connect to high levels of consciousness by letting one's ego develop. The 248 positive mitzvot associate with my remembrance, and Vaveh of the name, the letters from which come the lower seven sephirot. The 365 prohibitions correspond to my name and Yudheh, the source of the upper sephirot. Doing mitzvot draws light to the lower sephirot and sustains the world. Refraining from doing that bad actions, the soul to the higher reality. My commentary, which is coming, we also covered in the recent weeks in our readings of the Ari's material. When one adds 11, which is the gematria of Vav and Hey, to the word my remembrance, the total sum is 248, which connects and represents the 248 positive mitzvot. The similar statements can be made from the Yud and Hey being 15 and adding them to the world, to the word my name, Shmi. This sum equals 365, which represents the negative mitzvot. Now, the important question for you to answer is, this gematria metaphorical, or is this reality, actual? Depending on your answer to this question will determine your growth towards the spiritual goals. This is why it is important to answer this question for yourself. In terms of repentance, the damage done by transgressing a negative mitzvah is repairable through teshuvah. Just as a repairman can come and fix things. But what about the light that was not drawn down through the lacking of positive action? How can that ever be fixed? Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains that this is an idea of the Zohar's teaching about penitence, that they draw the light with extra power. This means that they can actually ascend to draw from the infinite being who sends a new ray, a new line, a new thread of his divine light into the empty vacuum. They so can fix everything. Footnote number 12. Brachot, a crookedness that can never be fixed, Ecclesiastic. This refers to one who should have read the Shema and did not. This refers to teshuvah within the confines and parameters of the old light that is already within the empty vacuum. Although one can repair the damage done by transgressing a prohibition, in terms of the old light, one who had a chance to do a mitzvah and did not do it is left forever bereft of that light, unless he repents in a manner that can blow the whole situation away and draw from the infinite light new radiance to his universe. What comes out is that each has its advantage. It is important to note that one can only be considered as having fulfilled a prohibition if it comes to his hand to transgress it. If he then withstands the test, it counts to his credit as if having done the negative command. It is easy to repent and become immediately rectified. Hence, it is easy to repent and become immediately rectified. For as is known, the first three sephirot of the Klipot can also transform to holiness, which is the secret of what the sages say. The Jordan River also takes this from one, this one, and gives to another. The Talmud is talking about how a river can cause one person's property to go to another by washing it offshore and down the river. This is used as an analogy for the top three sephirot of the Klipot being brought over to the side of holiness. Heaven causes this to happen because it is revealed above that for some reason the property really belongs to the Klipot. The supposed owner and transferred to holiness, the rightful owner. Therefore, he can immediately return in Teshuvah, and Malchut can ascend to its place and rejoin Tiferet. This is called Teshuvah or Tashuv Hei. This is the first step level within Asiyah. In the parable of the Zohar, this is akin to restoring an estranged captive wife to her husband. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions?
This is real enlightening.
It is enlightening, yes. It's very helpful to have this understanding and to really absorb it in the way you think of things.
Mm-hmm.
If we continue to the next section, we're going to continue learning about Teshuvah on a different level than we've heard before. If we don't, we can end our class here and then move on to it next week. I'll leave the choice up to you. The link is set up as 24C.
I'm good to continue. It's up to you guys.
I assume you are also.
Okay. My next handout says chapter 21, section 4A.
Correct. Levels of Teshuvah.
Okay.
So, along the same discussion lines, the second level within Asiyah is when Tiferet becomes disconnected from Bina as well, in a way that causes Asiyah to descend to the first three sephirot of the Klipot. It is caused by the transgression of a positive mitzvah. This teshuvah is also called Tashuv Hei, since it causes the lower hay, or Malchut, to be reconnected to the upper he, Bina, in turn allowing Tiferet to ascend as well. The second level is referring to the levels of Teshuvah. What we had done in the previous section was talk about the first level of Teshuvah. The third level, with respect to Asiyah, is when a person transgresses a positive mitzvah in such a way as to do damage to Bina and cause it to descend, thereby causing Asiyah to descend to the last three sephirot of the Klipot. When he repents, is also considered Tashuv Hei, since Teshuvah is from Bina, and its power goes down and extends until Malchut. Then Malchut and Tiferet will return together, for Bina descending causes them to join, and this itself is Teshuvah. I hope you're also recognizing that this is describing movements of the Sephirot relative to each other. And again, this is why it's so difficult to utilize the diagrams of the Tree of Life, the 10 Sephirot, the 10 circles with the 22 lines. It's hard to visualize how those circles move relative to each other. They seem to be in a fixed state, but they're not. They are all constantly moving relative to each other. Continuing to read. Bride and groom unite under a chuppah. They embody Tiferet and Malchut. The light of Bina descends to engulf and unite them. It is clothed in the chuppah that is used for the marriage ceremony. In order for opposites to unite, an energy that transcends them both must be drawn. In order for opposites to unite, the energy that transcends them both must be drawn. This is part of the reason why Teshuvah comes from Bina, the eighth Sephirah, the transcending force of this universe of 7 days and directions. Footnote 13. The six directions plus the middle point of Malchut. Continuing. The fourth level is when a person transgresses a positive mitzvah in such a way as to damage Chachma, causing it to separate from Keter. When such a person repents, it is also Teshuvah or Tashuv Hei, since he causes the upper Hei to return to Keter, at which time Chachma will descend with it. We can now have now explained the first division of atonement. One example of this is when someone learns Torah in a manner of amassing data without reverence for Hashem. The Torah comes out from Chachma. This means the place from which it is revealed, but its hidden source is Keter. In order to access the true light of the Torah, one must draw from these places. This involves learning with reverence for Hashem, and also that the learning experience be geared to be an uplifting of consciousness. This concept poignantly expresses what is considered to be an underlying cause of the desolation of the land of Israel after the destruction of the first temple. So says Hashem, because they abandoned my Torah. This means that they did not bless on the Torah first before their learning. It is the blessing on the Torah that draws from Keter, the first of levels, into Chokmah. The word bracha literally means a fountain of the light of the Infinite One, shining into Chokmah. One who does not do this lacks the fulfillment of the root of the positive mitzvot. This is the idea behind the fourth level of not doing a positive mitzvah. My commentary. From the reading in section 3, which is what we did today, and this section, we need to realize that the tikkun always relates to a mitzvah. The actions of the mitzvot are simple and easy to do. The addition of having the proper timing of the ritual and the proper kavanah of the ritual is not easy. From this statement, I realize that there are five components to the action of doing a mitzvah. When we do not do any of these components completely in a righteous manner, that is the cause of the breaks mentioned above, as different levels of teshuvah that must be done to repair our mistakes, our errors, and sins. What are these five components of the mitzvah? Preparations of components of the mitzvah. An example would be acquiring the four species between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Yet what about a mitzvah that does not require any preparation or a component? Give me an example and I will attempt to explain it. There are always outside components to a mitzvah. When one prays, as an example, one had to purchase a siddur, or maybe not, a prayer from the heart. In the Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah of prayer deals with Hebrew prayer and recommends to have a siddur. No positive mitzvah does not require a preparation of components. The component relates to Keter and the separation between Malchut of Keter and the Yesod of Keter. This is my opinion. Preparation for the Kavanah, for doing the mitzvah. This relates to the separation between Chokmah and Keter, as described above, in my opinion. The study of the mitzvah from the commentary and the written and oral Torah. This relates to the separation between Bina and Chokmah, in my opinion. When one anticipates the pleasure of doing the mitzvah, or the components to the pleasure of the mitzvah for their own sake, after doing the mitzvah, in other words, thinks about that event in their lives. This is not doing the mitzvah to give pleasure to the Creator, which is what we need to do. This relates to the separation between Zeranpin and Bina, in my opinion. The physical act of doing the mitzvah relates to separating between Malchut and Zeranpin, in my opinion. One day there will be an addendum to the various lists of mitzvot, which will include these five categories of creating separation. Then people will begin to actually do teshuvah, knowing what they did incorrectly, since the actions that they do in this lifetime relate to the mistakes they made in earlier lifetimes. If anybody is interested in doing this list, which will be posted on the Hashem website, let me know. This may be a collaborative effort, so let me know if you would like to do a number of mitzvot instead of all of them. Perhaps I will be able to put you in contact with a group already involved with this Yeshem project. The second division of atonement is when a person violates a negative mitzvah, for which his teshuvah is suspended, does not evoke immediate forgiveness, and so for which Yom Kippur must atone. This is because the person sinned and damaged the Yetzirah, specifically the level of Tiferet, causing Malchut to separate, as well as the sixth Sefirot of Yetzirah. His simple repentance only reaches to Malchut, and therefore he needs the engine of Yom Kippur to fuel and propel his teshuvah up to repair the Yetzirah levels. My commentary. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. This means a day after Mashiach arrives. All mistakes and sins will be corrected, and we will start over completely righteous. This is actually what happens on the day of Yom Kippur, and that is why the above comments have been made. They are hints to the changes that happen to every human being on that day, providing they have done their spiritual work during the 7 weeks of consolation and the days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur. It is important to note that there are deeper degrees of teshuvah that indeed by themselves descend to Yetzirah, and even above to mend. This applies to the following divisions of atonement that require other things with teshuvah to repair. The deeper one digs in his heart to return to God, the greater the velocity and the higher the teshuvah will reach. The deeper one digs in his heart to return to Hashem, the greater the velocity and the higher the teshuvah will reach. Therefore, nothing stands before teshuvah. The underlying idea is that the common denominator of bina and teshuvah both draw from bina. As mentioned, teshuvah is the grand transcending energy of existence. The secret of the power to repair is that it is the pure, pristine, untainted source in the universe. Anything can so be fixed by harnessing the amazing energy. The only issue is how much of this energy needs to be drawn to fix a specific mistake. The greater the mistake, the more needs to be drawn, as we find in actual cases of those who did the worst things and repaired everything through teshuvah. When this person repents, then Malchut returns to its place in the secret of teshuvah, tashuv hei. However, regarding the six sephirot, a void remains among them. Although it, Malchut, wants to rise and bond with them, it cannot and will not be able to until the light of Briah comes, which is called Yom Kippur. This is what is meant by his teshuvah is suspended and Yom Kippur atones. A day one repents is above time, and so is Yom Kippur above time. Another way of understanding that is, a day one repents is above Chesed, and so is Yom Kippur above Chesed. Continuing to read. Once someone did something and etched it into reality, how can they possibly change it? It must be that the power of repentance draws from a higher reality. And so the sages teach, Teshuvah preceded the world, coming from a deeper dimension. It affords the ability to enter the master booth and edit the film of life. In order to access this awesome power, one must go to a deeper dimension of the self. Charge in such a place evokes a tremor of change in the depths of existence, in the depths of reality. Within this level, there are also the four levels we mentioned with respect to Asiyah, except that all of them are in the secret of Yetzirah, descending into Asiyah and not into the Klipot. The third level of atonement is when a person commits a sin whose punishment is karet, cutting off, which blemishes Briah. This is footnote 14. And these cases are mostly enumerated in the Parashat of Kiddushim when we talk about not not sleeping with your father's mother and your mother's father, and not sleeping with your sister or your sister's husband, all of these different proscribed sexual acts, creative acts, but they're really talking about the relationships of the Sephiroth. Returning, Karet comes from Keter. Being cut off is coming from the level of Keter. For its damages reaches to there, and from there the person is actually cut off. Perhaps here things are being said in relative terms, for the Ari here mentions the world of Briah in terms of its association with Hakma and Bina and Atzilut with Keter, while elsewhere Briah identifies with Bina alone and Atzilut only with Hakma. The effect of Chilul Hashem is worse than that of sins involving Karet and are therefore described as reaching until Keter. Karet issues, which are not as bad, are described as coming to a notch lower, Chachma and Bina. This, however, doesn't mean to say that they have no line to Keter also. The Brit, the covenant God established with people, is as if from his highest, from his level of Keter. And that is footnote 15. That is relative to us. Indeed, the intrinsic divine essence is infinitely aloof, even from Keter. Even the supernal Keter is dark before the cause of causes. But in the manifestation of the Sephiroth, Keter, the highest Sephiroth, is as if the highest rung of divinity. Let's return. Different mistakes cause different problems. Some do not go so deeply as category as to disturb the Brit. There are, however, those that do. This is the idea of our category at hand. The brilliant light of Keter becomes Karet. This is a prime example of how raw energy can be utilized either way. This is footnote 16. Essene seen also by their word pairs such as Oneg and Nega, Shepha and Pesha. In truth, from the mouth of the Supernal One, no evil comes out. The, so to speak, divine face manifests to a person according to what face that person shows Hashem. The pure, pristine Keter force is most certainly not given to be tainted, no matter what anyone does. But a person can blow the circuits and cause the expression of this energy to himself to be harmful. The only connection to Hashem in the aspect of Brit can be turned to the losing connection above and being left bereft of manifest godliness. Returning to the location, as seen from here, Teshuvah helps even for such deep disturbances. When he repents, Yom Kippur is also only able to suspend this atonement. For Tiferet and Malchut cannot return to their places until suffering comes from Abba and Ima, which has the effect of purging sin. In the secret of Yud-Heh, Hashem has much chastised me. Yud-Heh refers to Abba and Ima. Also, in the secret of from the straits called Yah, from these come trouble and suffering. There are four levels here as well. As mentioned previously, the Yud of Hashem's name corresponds to Atzilut, Chachma, and Abba. The following He corresponds to Bria, Bina, and Ima. Chachma and Bina, the eighth and ninth Sephirot, transcend our world of 7 days, 7 directions, from the 7 lower Sephirot. As said, the simple meaning of this is that the secret of how suffering actually fixes and is a good, and good comes from a source above this world. I think this is going to be a little long to complete. And I also think that the material is kind of a little too fast. I'm not sure how you feel about it. I think this material has to be covered again. What is your feeling? I didn't hear you.
I'll have to revisit this section.
Yeah. Right, because it's literally this whole page. And we're about, 60% of the way down. So let's call the class here, and we'll start it right at the beginning of section 24C next week.
Okay.
And that'll give you time to review the material and see if it has meaning to you. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
You all have a good evening, a good week. Tomorrow's classes are at 4:30 for Section 11 of Lech Lecha, and at 7 o'clock will be a class on the Ari's writings. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful week.